Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Everyone, and welcome to a brand episode of The Wrap right here on the Fike Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we begin a brand new week, recapping the week that was in WWE. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, my ride or die, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Miss Parker, Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on The Wrap, as always, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Shout out to Jada. She's doing her best on a show that's not really giving her a lot to be proud of right now, but it's just one of those lulls. We'll get through it. But this is going to be a fun show. We're gonna uplift spirits. We're going to have a great time. We're even going to talk about, as I just dubbed her, the Sword Master. It's going to be great. It's going to be a fantastic show.
Yes, the Sword Master, Carmen Petrovic, I believe, that is who Scott is referring to. The Sword Master giving Mortal Kombat vibes, which we appreciate. And yeah, this is going to be a very fun show. You know, I need this to lift my spirits right now, going through a lot of personal stuff. So sometimes you need wrestling as a good distraction. And I'm very thankful that I have this show as a way to just express myself, laugh for a little bit, enjoy the moment that I have with my co-captain, and really talk about the week that was for WWE as we get ready for the King and Queen of the Ring, PLE, going down in Saudi Arabia 1 week from Saturday on Peacock at approximately 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern, if I'm not mistaken. But before we get into the tournament, I got to talk about what Scott alluded to earlier, which was NXT going down this past Tuesday live from the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. And I got to say, we're in that kind of stand and deliver schneid. Things aren't so great. We did have a couple of good weeks via spring break in, but after that, it's been like, same old, same old. It is a build up to NXT Battleground in a few weeks in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the UFC Apex Arena, which is a very intimate environment. You got a small crowd, which is very curious, as I wonder why, even though I know why, they decided to go from Savannah to a very small venue like this, maybe playing into the octagon aspect of Battleground, trying to be a little bit grimy, but at the same time, if you're not going to go there, then why bother switching venues? But I digress on that, Scott.
So, you know, as far as the NXT kind of the lull and the just things are just not going as well as it's been. They are in a bit of a transition period. You know, they lost a lot of key cogs in that machine that have kind of been, you know, people who not only eat up a lot of TV time, but are really good. You know, you're talking Bron Breakker, you're talking Carmelo Hayes, you're talking Tiffany Stratton, Lyra's gone. You know, there are a lot of women who were men and women who were on that show who are not there anymore, who, you know, took a lot of that TV time. So now you're having to throw out a lot of people who probably should have been coming up a little bit slower, but this is what happens. This is the nature of the beast of national TV and rosters fluctuating at a high rate. Even a guy like Baron Corbin, you know, somebody like him, who's going to be missed from the NXT roster, reliable guy, changed up his moveset, you know, was able to, whoever he was in the ring with got elevated. You're gonna miss that type of stuff, especially the guys like Carmelo and Braun. And, you know, we've seen with the women's division and how, like, Tiffany really, they still got Roxanne, but Melo and Braun, man, I think people are really gonna see how much they uplifted that men's division over there, because you can see the void right now. Like, Tony D's a top guy. No offense to Tony D, but when those two were around, you knew where the fiddle played. So it's just very telling in the transition period that we're in, and we're just gonna have to be patient. You know, people like my client Jada, we have to wait on them to, you know, get acclimated, and not only get acclimated, but just be that foundation and continuously week after week be that consistent force that we've known to come. Like Fallon Henley, that's going to be her role going forward. She's going to have to be someone who can eat up not only a lot of TV time, but has to do a good job at it at the same time.
Definitely. I think that NXT, as you said, is going through transition. It's going through like this kind of redevelopment of what developmental was way back when. And I think it's kind of going back to where we were maybe in 2012, 2013. We did have like a small influx of main roster talent who wasn't doing very much on the main roster and going down NXT to lend a helping hand, such as the Good Brothers and Meechan as of late, and Chelsea Green this past Tuesday via NXT Women's Championship match against Roxanne Perez. So you do see some star power, but not as strong as Becky Lynch or Baron Corbin, for example. And I think this crew definitely needs the time to get their feet wet with this transition period, as they will be the primary crew taking the show to the C-Dub come October. So I think that this is a prime opportunity for them to really readjust, figure out what works. But I do think it's time to cut back on the silliness. Prime example, the Mob continuing to put out hits on people who simply forget or don't want to make their payments for said hit on another guy they got rid of on NXT in the form of Drew Gulak. That was just ridiculousness on the highest order. And I don't know how Ava, who is the NXT general manager, is allowing brazen kidnappings and presumed murders going down on her watch on NXT. And she just rewards people with championship matches. She rewards people like, why, girl? Why are you doing this? It makes no sense. But here we are, Tony D versus a member of the No Quarter to Catch crew in that Heritage Cup Championship match next Tuesday, or shall I say today on NXT. Just choices all around. I cannot take any of this seriously, because it's just rooted in a place where reality doesn't exist in this instance.
You know, a couple of things, and then, you know, we can absolutely move on from NXT. We're supposed to be uplifting spirits, right? A couple things real quick. Not only is the Mob still putting out hits and whatnot, they're still killing people. The other Stevenson, I'm pretty sure he's dead. In kayfabe.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure they killed him in kayfabe, because he said we don't have to worry about him being picked. So I'm pretty sure he's dead. He's over there with two nickels. He's swimming with two nickels now. Okay. So we can call him Steve and Son, because they don't put him in a couple pieces too. Listen, I'm just, there are, you know, I don't want to make it seem like everything is bad. There are some bright spots. North American Championship, that entire scene right now is looking very well. Everything about the Sugar Land that they had going on, now that they're at heels, you know, Josh Briggs.
Whoa. Pause. Time out.
Here we go.
So he went from Little Big Town to Sugar Land.
Yeah, Sugar Land's big. Sugar Land, they were heels. They were heels in the country music scene. You know, Little Big Town, I rock with Little Big Town. Sugarland, they came in hot. They was heels. They tried to steal everybody's thunder. Then they got mad when nobody wanted to rock with them, and they fell off the face of the earth. So, you know, they Sugarland right now. I'm just saying. So there are some good. Like, I like Josh Briggs as a heel. I think that works. But we'll see what happened with Stash. You know, we'll see what he does. But, yeah, that's enough NXT for me.
Stash. Because I like to make you suffer, I will briefly mention a couple of more things from NXT. Enjoy Josh Briggs versus Wesley. Love the video package, really chronicling what happened to Wesley over the last 6 or so months with the back surgery. How serious it was, not feeling any feeling in his legs, which was insane to me because he worked a harsh, crazy style. And I hope that he slows down a bit. Don't test your body too much, but nice showing as he is going after the NXT North America Championship. Then we had, Scott, the NXT Women's Combine to determine the top 12 ladies who will be vying for a shot at the championship via a ladder match at NXT Battleground in a few weeks' time. So we got the top 12, not going to go through the list, but I do like the creativity of trying to show us how the combine works in NXT, try to tie it into professional wrestling, which I appreciate as well, to make it seem as if it's truly legit, even though the fix is in, because I do not know how Lash Legend was not at the top of this list, considering how naturally athletic she is.
Yeah, Lash Legend not just dominating every single one of the events is laughable. Considering we know the athlete that she genuinely, like, she's a genuine professional athlete. Like, you know what I'm saying? This ain't no game. But I will say this. They do make NXT feel like a big-time G League, you know, like a big-time G League type feel. So that's a good thing. It gives it their own feel, gives it their own, you know, special thing that they have. But at the end of the day, it is still developmental, you know, and it's cool to see the developmental side of it, see the workouts, see the drills. Like you said, the fix was in, but it's cool to see how the fix is working.
Yes, I do appreciate that. And those were combine events. You know, the fix was in regarding the numbers being a little fudged up to, you know, give people an in into this tournament, which I appreciate. But I do like the inside track of how legit these combines are and the records set by a lot of very gifted people in that developmental system. So shout out to them for bringing some realism with the hint of, you know, some work in there for good measure. Also, speaking of Lash Legend, we had the Supernova Sessions with Metaphor and NXT champion Trick Williams. And we had this mystery envelope floating around courtesy of Lash Legend for the last few weeks. And she teased it the week before. And now we know what was inside said envelope. So way back when, before Trick Williams became NXT champion, he had a match against Noam Dar and he beat him, but Noam's leg was underneath the rope. So therefore it could have been a 1-2. Oh my God, I missed that by the referee, but he didn't see it. So therefore Noam Dar says, oh, you are fraudulent. Everything that has happened is simply by happenstance and you don't deserve it. And Trick is like, that's it. That's all you had to show me. That was a smoking gun. All you had to do was ask me for a championship match and I would have said yes. And in doing so, we find out that Trick and Lash got a thing going on, as she called Trick babe, vibing out to his theme song. And as things got a little bit cozy between the two, Noam Dar knocked out Trick and Lash was conflicted. And all I gotta say is I am a sucker for a good romance. I love love stories and wrestling when done properly. And I do see the chemistry between Lash and Trick, who are a real life couple. I kind of peeped that during the Love and WWE red carpet event for Bianca Belair and Montez Ford a few months ago. I caught the vibe like, okay, something's going on here. They're bringing it to TV. And I do sense that Lash will break apart from Metaphor, become a babyface, become a breakthrough star. And I think that her and Trick will run NXT in due time independently as well as together.
You know, if it was anybody but Trick Williams, I would say that she was going to turn on him and Noam Dar would be the new champion, because I would be all for Noam Dar getting an NXT title run. But it is going to be Trick. I could definitely see her tossing around Noam Dar. That would get a great reaction, especially if he can, you know, belittles her and just talks down to her. So that, I think that'll work really well. Trick needs a good, you know, good first defense here. This will be really good for him, with Noam getting a great match out of him. So, yeah, this is good. This is one of the good points. And Trick needs a good reign, regardless of whatever else is happening in the show. Trick needs to have a good reign. So this is a good step in that direction.
Yes, and shout out to Noam Dar, because normally he plays this very silly character, but when he knocked out Trick, the death stare he gave Lash, I was like, whoa, this guy means business. He's menacing, a little threatening. And I liked it. So I like that shade from Noam Dar to give me some seriousness to make this championship match stand out once it's made official for Battleground. And I do sense that Lash will turn on her crew. Jakara Jackson's not having any of this, which I love as well. And I do feel as if Lash is going to ragdoll Noam Dar around and the fans are going to love it. So at the end of the day, it's going to be her and Trick together. And I'm here for it because the charisma is definitely there. The chemistry is there too. And I think this is her moment to really break through, not only as a star on the rise, but as someone that could actually be a player on the main roster within the next 2 years.
Yeah. She's got the size, the look, the background. Like I said, she's probably one of the most athletic people in the company. So she's got everything it takes. If she can pick up the in-ring part of it, she can potentially be the next Bianca Belair at NXT.
Yeah, and she is improving, which is a good thing. I know that was a concern early on, but I've seen her get better, and that is very encouraging to see. As we finally take one more stop at NXT via the NXT Women's Championship match between the champion Roxanne Perez and the challenger Chelsea Green from Friday Night SmackDown. I really enjoyed this match. You know, a lot of the time Chelsea Green is a comedy figure in WWE. She makes me laugh all the time. But when she is in the ring, given a fair shake, she is very good. I thought that her and Roxanne worked great together. The fans were into it, wanted Chelsea to win at various points. I was with it. She wasn't going to win, but I liked the near falls nonetheless. The pop box finisher was a bit botched, but otherwise, this was a nice outing for her, and the ratings for NXT this week were surprisingly up considering all the competition from the NBA and the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, NXT's got its own fan base, and it's good to see that they continue to support them. So as everyone continues to get the reps, gets more TV time, I think you're just going to see the rating continue to rise, especially with better stories going.
Yes, fingers crossed on that. Better stories, additional main roster integration, and then whoever's left here, you know, basically the heart and soul of NXT, the people that have been there for a minute, hopefully they can kind of find their footing, find their voice, find their character. If you're not a Trick, if you haven't really captured the audience, here's your chance to do so, to really be a standout star on NXT moving forward from USA to the CW in the fall. As we finally say goodbye to NXT, rearview mirror, talk about you next week as we get to Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, going to Wicks Bear, Pennsylvania. And I thought this was a very good show. Crowd was into it most of the ways. We continue the King and Queen of the Ring tournament. But our top story, Scott, from SmackDown was Nick Aldis saying, hey, Cody Rhodes, undisputed WWE champion, we have found your next opponent for said championship at the King and Queen of the Ring PLE. And it's none other than the United States champion, Logan Paul, and it appears that it's going to be a champion versus champion match going down at this event.
Yeah, and it's an interesting, is it winner take all, which I would be all for. I think Cody Rhodes is more than capable of being a double champion, and it could be a big moment for whoever ends up being the one to take one of those titles off of him. But Logan Paul, again, getting another big opportunity in overseas in that Middle Eastern area. So this is I think the match will be great.
I think so, too. I think this would be one of Logan Paul's better singles matches. I will never forget this guy had a standout match against Roman Reigns. Was 4.5 stars, dare I say. It was just amazing. Very close to winning that championship. Had me on pins and needles for a bit, even though the outcome was pretty academic by the end of the night. But yeah, I think that him and Cody are going to really gel well in this match. We had some teases during last year's Warrior Rumble match. So for those guys to go back out there on a bigger stage with higher stakes, I'm here for that as well. So looking forward to it. Like the promo exchange between both guys as well. Basically saying that according to Logan Paul, his story is way more important than Cody's. And if it wasn't for him, he would have no story to complete at this year's WrestleMania. But Cody says, basically, you're an ass, you're a dumbass, but I respect you. You have rapidly improved, but I got a point to prove too. And he's going to do that via this match at the PLE, which I'm looking forward to. So I think both guys are going to really deliver on the big stage and deliver a very good match. I've learned my lesson from last year's WrestleMania when it comes to overrating Logan Paul matches. So I'm going to be at a comfortable 4 stars and up possibly for this match, depending how it goes, of course.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be a real good match.
Yes. As we move on to our King and Queen of the Ring tournament matches, first off was Naomi versus Nia Jax. I was pleasantly surprised by this match. It was very good. Both ladies worked hard, and Naomi was fighting for survival by fending off various wardrobe malfunctions. The top was not cooperating on this evening, but she pulled through nonetheless. And I really liked the chemistry. I know they're family, but it was nice to see that in-ring chemistry on display. The avalanche hurricanrana off the top rope was insane by Naomi to Nia Jax for a very close near fall. It was a really good back and forth match, but ultimately we had Nia hit the annihilator on Naomi to advance to the quarterfinals of the Queen of the Ring tournament. Very good action to kick off the show in ring style with the crowd into it as well. But Scott, your thoughts on this matchup?
Good match. Good way to start the tournament off. Nia Jax continues to have a really good second run. Good showing from Naomi as well. I expect Nia to go far in the tournament.
I do too.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers, according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
And speaking of another really strong match, we had one half of the women's tag team champions, Jade Cargill versus Piper Nevin. Another really good match. Both ladies had chemistry. Again, a bout of strength was on display early on that I dug, was very physical. And, you know, I will say this for Jade. Now in AEW, she wasn't known for selling. And in WWE, you got to sell a little bit, got to work on that. But the mechanics are getting sharper, I must say. And another impressive showing, pump kick to Piper Nevin, slammed her around with ease at one point, then hit the Jaded with ease for the 1-2-3 as she moves on to face Nia Jax in the quarterfinals. That should be interesting.
Yes, another opportunity for her to show off some a good feat of strength. She got a chance to do that with Piper, especially with that finisher. Her versus Nia is an interesting matchup. This could be the 2024 her versus Charlotte, or this could be we don't know what we're gonna get. I could see Jay just being like, yo, bump this, let's just throw hands. This ain't working out, let's just throw hands. If you get me, you catch me, it's all good. At this point, I have faith though. They've done a good job presenting Jade. Nia's done a good job. I don't think they'll do anything crazy. They'll probably have some type of big attack before the match, and then the match won't be too long, and you can really focus in on just high-impact moves. But, I think that match next week is going to be that's going to be one to watch.
What a horrifying flashback. It could be Charlotte and Nia from a couple of years ago, and my God in heaven, that was something to behold on live television during a Monday Night Raw. All I would say was, I'm glad that Nia got an invite to Charlotte's wedding, because I was concerned because they were shooting out there.
Yeah, they it was definitely a Nas song, Made You Look. you gotta keep your head on a swivel. But yeah, I don't think you gotta worry about that, Jay. You gotta worry about that, Jay. Said, I wish somebody would pop off. Please, please. I'll show you what type of storm I really am. I turn this whole thing into a mutant convention. Everybody gonna get hit with a lightning bolt.
Wow. And somehow, some way, she will make it happen. I don't doubt that for a second. But yeah, what a flashback that was. I think they have a good match. Shoot free, I believe. As we get to Bianca Belair making very quick work of Candice LeRae, we had Indy Hartwell causing trouble and affected the left knee of Bianca Belair, which could be a factor during the quarterfinals match, in the tournament on SmackDown on Friday, which we'll get to momentarily, as we had some live event tournament matches going down on the road this past weekend for WWE. Not too much to dissect there, Scott. It was an easy victory despite the knee injury.
As it should be. She ran right through her, as she should, but the knee injury will be the out to give a young up-and-comer the big victory over Bianca next week.
For sure. Then we had a situation where we had a match substitution. Bobby Lashley was injured, not clear to compete in the King of the Ring tournament. So Angelo Dawkins takes his place facing Tama Tonga. And this match was basically a 2-minute sprint. Angelo hit his greatest hits for near falls. It wasn't meant to be, as we had interference galore from the Bloodline, which enabled Tama Tonga to get the win, and the beatdown continued. And Paul Heyman continues to be horrified. And we find out that, you know, according to Solo, Roman Reigns has given him his blessing to run the Bloodline until he returns, and that the wise man belongs to all, and he loves Paul. He's going to protect Paul. And Solo hugs Paul backstage before this match, and the way he was looking at him is like, you are a dead man walking, Paul. You just don't know it yet. But I love the storyline. I love the layers to this. I love the reveal that, in fact, Paul Heyman let it be known that, oh, I did not... You know, Roman Reigns did not take himself out of the draft. I did. I have not talked to the man since WrestleMania, but according to Solo, he's talked to Roman. I find that very, very hard to believe.
Why he always lying? Boy, that boy be lying. He just be lying. We don't know why he lying so much. Listen. That guy, man, this dude done turned into he ain't never been a hero, but he definitely has looked in the mirror long enough to become the true villain in another villain story. Like, Roman been the villain in everybody's story the last 3 years, and this dude's like, nah, I'm about to be the villain in your story, son. Watch this. I love what they've done with Solo. I just don't think Solo's the guy.
No.
But I think they've done a great job with Solo as far as the look, the presentation, the way everybody reacts around him. I understand why you had G.O.D. come in, you know, and I, you know, you got Solo always, you know, looking and talking with God about things. And he's got wise man on one side. He's got God on the other side. You know, what more do you need? I think it's a great look. Solo's just not the guy, you know. He's just not the guy.
I think I know what you're hinting at, because, you know, there was an article that dropped in the last few days or so that alluded to the fact that, you know, WWE could be concerned that Jacob Fatu could be the guy. And if you've seen the guy's promos and his work, I can tell you right now, if he debuted on the main roster today, he will overshadow Solo. There's no doubt about it. There is reason to be concerned. If you're trying to push Solo as that guy, I have news for you. Jacob is that guy that can be a force on this roster, that can be a true superstar of the highest order. And at some point, you're going to just have to acknowledge that and let it be. Solo is very good at his job, but Jacob is going to clear him, I fear. And that is a reasonable concern by WWE, but that's a good problem to have because we have a dynamic talent in your hand like Jacob Fatu. Push him. He is charismatic. He can talk. He's scary as fuck. Just go there. Don't be afraid. Don't try to dim him in order to elevate Solo, because even if you try, a Jacob Fatu at 70% is still going to cloud Solo at 100. No doubt about it.
And that is part of it, but it's just not even that. I'm just thinking like if this was Jimmy, it would be a whole different feel. If this was Tom, it'd be a whole different feel. If this was Jay, it'd be a whole different feel. Solo is supposed to be this killer, and he never won a match after he gave Cena the 100-hand spike of death. So it's just, you know, like I said, I think they've done a great job with everything around Solo, the presentation as far as making him feel like, you know, a big deal and making him feel like he's just stepped into this role with no problem. But once Roman comes back, man, and they have this face off, we're just going to see the levels that there's levels to this, and we're going to see it.
Yeah, Roman as a babyface and talking shit to his cousin. Yeah, that is going to be next levels to everything. And the fans rocking with Roman, that's going to be different too. So it's kind of like a two-headed monster with the Jacob and Roman Reigns mix of it all. And I like Solo as well, but I have to say, wins and losses matter. And when he straight up destroyed John Cena at Crown Jewel back in November, you would expect this guy to be on a run of winning his matches, but he lost and 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 lost all of his matches. And he had the temerity to say, Roman Reigns, you must be held accountable for losing our championship at WrestleMania. Let me say that again. He said our championship. Since when there was we in a singles championship, Solo, you ain't won shit on the main roster.
That's what I'm saying, man. The dude's a liar. that's what I'm saying, man. Like, he's just a liar. But again, Solo he's just not the one, but I like what they've done. Everything's good. When we get the big Uso reunion and all that, it'll all work out.
Yes, for sure. And I have to say, Tama Tonga, great presence. Nice to look at too. Cheddar Biscuits, by the way. Love the entrance. So I think that might be a non-Def Rebel song, God willing. But entrance presentation-wise was very good on SmackDown. Very impressed.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's a non-Def Rebel because it was good, so...
For sure. And then we get to our main event of Friday Night SmackDown, our King of the Ring quarterfinals match involving AJ Styles and Randy Orton. Now, these guys are two amazing professional wrestlers that go out there and have amazing professional wrestling matches. And this was another case of that. Both guys, seasoned vets, put on a show. AJ Styles heard the allegations. You're washed. You ain't got it no more. And let me do a vertical leap from the barricade to the announce table. Let me show you how good I am. Randy says, I got something for you. I just love the chemistry between both guys. I remember watching SmackDown Live many, many moons ago on USA, and these guys tore it up, and I wanted that so badly for them. They delivered. Then it kind of had that match of WrestleMania when the light was the enemy and that kind of watered things down. But the chemistry between these guys is undeniable. It was on full display. What's so interesting, these guys are muscle bound and they're big, but they can still go and they're not tired. And Randy ultimately hits an RKO out of nowhere on AJ to win the match. But it should be noted that he too is also battling a knee injury courtesy of Styles, who targeted that knee throughout the match. Calf crusher, goes for a submission, does not work, but he's feeling it like Bianca Belair. And I think that is going to play a role in how this tournament ends on the SmackDown side of things.
Oh yeah, Gunther's definitely tapping Randy out to a leg lock, or Randy's going to try to jump for the RKO and his leg's going to give out, and then Gunther's going to put him in a sleeper and put him to sleep. Because actually, Randy's not going to tap, but I could definitely see him putting him to sleep real quick with a nice sleeper hold. So, again, just like they did with Bianca Belair, this is a good way to have one of your top baby faces get a lot of sympathy for all of his matches. He can always have something for the heel to work on. A good way to build that heat. And then when he hits the RKO out of nowhere, it's, you know, it'll be game over. So, and also really good match. They do have very good chemistry.
Yes, two seasoned vets out there putting in that work. And George SmackDown, as a whole, very hot crowd. Always appreciate that. Elevates everything in the room as we get to the non-televised King and Queen of the Ring tournament matches that went down on the road this past weekend for both Raw and SmackDown. So on the Raw side, a match I think we were both looking forward to, but we were shortchanged, was Rey Mysterio versus Kofi Kingston. And Kofi Kingston moves on, Scott, to face Gunther, which happened last night on Monday Night Raw.
Bit surprised, but happy. Makes sense. There was a story there with Kofi, the New Day, and Gunther and all that. So, yeah. And this is one I kind of wish they would have got some footage for. They would have. This is one I feel like you could have did a little special for on the network, a little King of the Ring special, show this match. But it is what it is. Live event audience got to see a match that meant something.
Yeah, live streaming on your social media, dude. Like, that's how you do it. Should I get some eyeballs on it? But hey, it is what it is. Ultimately, at the end of the day, congrats to Kofi. Very surprised with outcome as well. Then we had on the women's side, Shayna Baszler, who was supposed to face the reigning queen in the ring, Zelina Vega, but she's out with injury as well. So she faced Maxine Dupri. And you can guess who won? Shayna Baszler, easily.
Next.
Nothing really to add there as we jump over to SmackDown. And on the women's side, it was Tiffany Stratton versus Meechan, and Tiffany wins with an Alabama Slam. Not the prettiest moonsault ever. I was surprised by that when I saw that footage on social media.
That's more what I like to see. I've been a bit advocate, big fan of wrestlers winning matches, especially on TV, live events and stuff like that. It's kind of like that secondary finisher or that big high impact move that they always hit in the match that you can use in a big time match to kick out of and get a good near fall. So I like that. I appreciate that when she hits that in one of these matches in the next coming weeks and gets a good near fall out of it, it'll mean more. So I good job there. Tiffany is a blossoming star on SmackDown.
For sure. And the dream scenario is going to happen on Friday. It will be Tiffany Stratton versus Bianca Belair.
And I think Tiffany wins here. This would be a big... Well, I don't know. I could see them... So I don't know. Does Tiffany win and then we get Tiffany versus Jade? Because if Tiffany wins, you would probably need to have Jade win. Unless they want to have her be the babyface in the match versus Nia, which could work really well too. But there could be a story with Nia beating Jade. And then the following week, Bianca somehow overcomes Tiffany. And then the following week, she beats Bianca Belair. Basically takes out the tag team champions. So... she becomes queen of the ring. There is something there, like, especially when you go through that list of who she would be beating to that title, because she would absolutely beat whoever's coming from the Raw side. I might think Nia Jax could be coming from that SmackDown side, though. Tiffany, it would be a huge boost for Tiffany to come from that side also.
Yes, some tough decisions would definitely have to be made. I do expect some upsets, and I have been dreaming about Bianca and Tiffany for a while in the ring together. I wanted it kind of at WrestleMania, but it's going to happen on SmackDown. I hope it's a very good match. I think it will be. Hope they get time. I think they will be given that as well. And it's going to be a standout battle between two women that I really like. And it's going to be very, very fun. So looking forward to that. And then on the other SmackDown side of things for the men, LA Knight versus Santos Escobar. LA Knight advances in the tournament.
Good on LA Knight. I don't think he wins this tournament, but I do think he has some big matches on his horizon that don't involve Cody.
I agree. So nice victory for him. We'll see how he fares in the tournament as we draw to a conclusion in the next week or so. As we get to our main appetizer, our main course, I should say, Monday Night Raw going down live last night on USA. from South Kakalaki. And we kick things off with Drew McIntyre complaining, as always, about CM Punk making his life a living hell, talking about how can you be straight edge and look like a drug addict all at the same time. The shade about Drew McIntyre is absolutely crazy. And he's going on and on, and the fans chanting CM Punk. We do have the World Heavyweight Champion Damian Priest coming out to let it be known that, dude, don't blame me. Blame yourself for what happened at WrestleMania, because all you had to do was kiss your wife, and then you and her could have left, could have went off in the sunset, celebrate your championship victory, because it's all you wanted, Drew, for 4 years, win in front of people. You got that, but you wanted to one-up CM Punk. You had to prove a point, and you got punked out by a one-armed man, and you put CM Punk above your wife. That is not my problem. And besides, you told me that if the time came, if you happened to be the champion, it's cashing on you. That's exactly what I did. And not only that, every time I try to cash in on Seth Rollins, you interrupted. So turns about fair is play, isn't it? So if Drew wants a championship match so bad, all you got to do is ask, and he's down to give him what he wants. And I think that match is definitely going down at Clash at the Castle in Glasgow, Scotland. That will be the official coronation for Drew McIntyre, unless CM Punk screws him over.
Yeah, this is a good exchange. Nothing great, but it was good. Damian definitely does. He's still working his way into becoming into that tier with them, but I think he's done a good job. He's represented himself well. This was a good segment and a effective way to build toward this eventual title match.
Very much so. Drew still recovering from an elbow injury, so it gives him time to heal while still being on television talking shit per the usual. And Damian Priest carries himself very strongly as champion. I love his presence. I love how he stands out in a good way. And I think that eventually he will be a babyface. That will be over with the people in due time. And speaking of that, we had some more Judgment Day shenanigans backstage with Carlito trying to warm his way into the group, saying, I can do you a favor. I can, you know, help you out when need be, because you're down Rhea Ripley and it seems like you guys need a little bit of help. Let me assist you in that. And we have Dominic Mysterio trying to advocate for Carlito, but Damian Priest says they might need the help, but I don't. And we'll see what role Carlito plays later on in the show as we get to Io Sky versus Shayna Baszler in a opening round match of the King and Queen of the Ring tournament, or should I say quarterfinals match. And I thought this was a very good match between Shayna Baszler and Io Sky, one of Shayna's best matches in a while, as she does what she does best. She goes after a body part, goes after that left arm of Io Sky. Io fights through that, hits a moonsault. And one of the cool things I saw from last night's episode of Monday Night Raw is, because during the commercial break, it's kind of telegraphed, the action rolls on after this. We saw slow motion replays of people flying out of the ring in slow motion, which I like. Saw that via the moonsault by Io Sky to Shayna Baszler, and then Io Sky fights back, hits the over-the-top moonsault for the victory to move to the semis of the Queen of the Ring tournament. Very good match between two women that know each other very well, dating back to their time on NXT.
Yeah, this was a really good women's match. Shayna got a chance to show off. They got a lot of time. Io Sky got to play the babyface, which I think is her one of her best roles, and the crowd really got behind her. Her versus Tiffany as far as best moonsault in WWE. I think Io just said, especially with that camera angle, let me put my name in the hat, make sure people don't forget about me. But that was a really good match to start the show.
Yes, very much so. As we get to our next match, which was actually Kofi Kingston versus Gunther in a quarterfinals match for the King of the Ring tournament. Before that, we got a amazing promo from Ludwig Kaiser, which was probably the greatest promo he's ever cut. I think it might have been after the match, but this guy just went off and I was impressed. And he talked that talk. He talked about Sheamus. He talked about, I did you a favor because you can never beat Gunther. I'll do you another favor by ending you where you stand. So I'm looking forward to that match down the road with Ludwig and Sheamus. Good test for Ludwig. He actually is able to carry himself with the microphone, have that snobby swagger, which I love. That's why he got unlimited cheddar biscuits. Reasons like that, besides the sweater game, obviously, but talk that talk and he can back it up in the ring too. And I'm all about that.
Yeah, big opportunity for him. You know, we know what Gunther's going to do, but Ludwig's got a big shot here. Sheamus will win the feud, but it'll be a big chance for him to show what he can do on his own.
Yes, as we get to Gunther versus Kofi in the quarterfinals of the King of the Ring tournament. And I have to say, another very good match. Kofi was trying to avenge Xavier Woods, but going after the knee of Gunther, as Gunther did to Xavier Woods a few weeks ago on Monday Night Raw. Really nice back and forth match between both guys that went out there and really worked hard. But ultimately, Gunther was able to overwhelm Kofi in the end. Powerbomb, Boston Crab, made Kofi tap out to advance to the semis of this tournament. He's looking like a beast out there, and I love that for him. And one more thing I forgot to mention is that I kind of talked about this last week as well, that I wanted, you know, professional crowns for the men and for the women. And I got that. They're in a glass case, and they look expensive, and therefore, I am impressed. This is being taken seriously. These are not cheap-ass crowns. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, this is the reason that we have in the king and the king and queen in a ring overseas is because they're paying for the crowns. that was the agreement that was signed upon in blood. But they decided that I'm just saying, like, it is what it is.
Ain't no lie.
I'm just saying. But they decided that if we're going to do that, then you pay for the crowns, and they did. They certainly did. Like, I'm gonna keep it a buck. That ain't something you could just wear one time, though. You know, I need to get my money's worth with that. Like, so when Gunther wins that, I'm gonna need Gunther to start rocking that bad boy, King Gunt. You know, King Gunt in the building. All rise. Damien about to get a new slogan because all rise for King Gunt. Because he is here. They look great. The crowns look great.
You get a snort out of me. It works every time. So King Gunth, that's his new nickname. So I need him with the cape, with the scepter, with the crown, and the pimp walk coming down to the ring if he wins.
Well, he already got the walk. He got the smile. I don't know about the scepter. Maybe for the first one. Maybe for the coronation.
Okay.
Yeah, for the coronation, I'm cool with the scepter because I kind of want him to rock the crown with a little bit of a slant, Fresh Prince style. you know what I'm saying? I want him to let his full goon out too and just really let loose.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
King Gunth is going to be a problem. Let me tell you right now, you let that man be king, he going to stunt. And I'm here for that. As we get to something that was kind of silly backstage. So we had Lyra Valkyria getting ready for a match against, I do believe, let me put my hat on, Zoe Stark in the quarterfinals of this tournament. And we had Liv Morgan ask Lyra, you know, is Becky such a biatch? And then Lyra says, you can ask Becky yourself. And then Becky basically sucker punches Liv. And it was a very weak sucker punch. I must say it was something. And then Liv had to sell it and she sold it. But Becky knocking out Dominic Mysterio was far superior.
Becky saw the Willow and Sky Blue match and was like, watch this. You know, it is fine. Liv just trying to intertwine herself into everything Becky Lynch has got going on. So it's cool. I don't think Liv wins the title. I wish she was, but I don't think it happens over there. I think that's going to be something that she gets over here. But I am curious to see how they handle it, because if she loses clean, why do I care about her getting another rematch? So that's an interesting finish they're going to have for that match.
And Dom will have his hands all over it. Bold prediction, because the sneakiness is in here. I was looking at the socials last week and the sneakiness of this. So Liv was, you know, obviously around the backstage area, and she was around Dom, and she had his handkerchief in her pocket.
Could have been Finn's, but
no, Scott. No.
We all know that Finn rocked the purple bandana.
No. Finn's was accounted for. Dom's was missing later in the show.
Man, Finn got like four different bandanas in his bag. y'all trying to get Dom all hemmed up with mommy. Finn got like, they all got like three or four, you know, different color strands of purple bandanas. You know what I'm saying? Come on. But nah, that joint was Finn's, man. Y'all ain't doing it. She stole that out of Finn Balor's bag. Little do you know, there was a WWE.com exclusive backstage where Finn's like, missing a bandana. Somebody went in my bag. I think it was Truth. We got to get him. You know, got to get. Where's Pierce? Where's Chelsea? She'll call the manager. Where's she at? Somebody got to get my purple bandana.
Now you're making up stuff that did not happen. None of that happened. There was no digital exclusive on YouTube to say, oh my God, my handkerchief got stolen. Who did it? Finn's like, who did this? No, what happened was, Scott, you have to accept reality here. Dom is living foul, okay? You talked about his mustache last week, looking like a dirty Dom for real. And he and Liv are conspiring behind the scenes, leaving the same locker room after doing things, took the handkerchief. Come on now. God. It is something going on. Liv said, I'm taking everything that belonged to mommy, including her man.
Listen, if Dirty Sanchez and the Bride of Chucky want to get together and do their thing,
oh my God,
that's fine. That's fine. You know, if they want to upset the Incredible Hulk version of Wednesday Addams, that's their choice. But they're gonna get smashed.
I cannot with you. I am so done. But you know what? That is an apt description. Tiffany Valentine is Liv Morgan. She is.
I'm just saying, you know, and Dirty Dom is he's a Dirty Sanchez. Like, there's no other way to describe him with that.
Yes, he is. He is greasy and creepy. I'm not going to lie, but he looks good with the mullet and the stash. Okay. It does stand out in a good way.
I don't think it looks good. Definitely stands out. It definitely stands out, but I definitely can't give you he looks good.
Okay. We'll just
shout out to his wife for dealing with that.
Yes, by the way, bless her, because they just got married and you got a caterpillar going on your lip. And she's like, okay. Got Charlotte Chaplin in the bed every night.
You talking about me. You just said that man had a caterpillar on his lip.
Well,
that's the most egregious thing that's been said.
What do you want me to say? He has a caterpillar on his lip. He does. It looks good. I mean, listen, everybody can't rock it. He looks good, right? No doubt.
Everybody can't do that. I mean, it's not like a Karrion Kross level, but
no,
it's definitely a Sanchez.
Yes, it gives him added character, and I appreciate that. Looking very creepy, but I like it nonetheless. As we get to a very bad night for the Alpha Academy. So Chad Gable's trying to whip his troops into shape, saying, hey, I need some wins here. Hey, Bronson Reed and Akira Tozawa, I need you to go out there, Akira, handle business, no dancing from you. And hey, Otis, you got Sami Zayn, no worm for you, no wiggling of the hips for you, okay? I need results here. I need wins. And they go out there and they lose pretty handily after doing the things that Chad said not to do. And after, you know, Otis versus Sami Zayn, we have Chad going after Sami. Sami lands an explosive suplex to Chad Gable, goes for the Luva kick, but Chad scurries away and he blames Otis for what happened as Otis tries to pick up his his mentor, his teacher, and then Chad slaps Otis, and then Otis just turns around and follows his leader backstage, and the fans are chanting for Otis to grow a set and wake up, and that will happen one day. That pop will be great, but I do love heel Chad Gable, and it is official. It will be Sami Zayn defending the Intercontinental Championship against both Bronson Reed and Chad Gable in a triple threat match at the King and Queen of the Ring PLE in Saudi Arabia in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, I can't wait for Bronson Reed to take another pinfall loss. The match would be a lot of fun, though, so there's that. Also, you know, if I'm Otis and Akira, you know, and Chad's, you know, giving me this pep talk. So the matches you book us in. So Tozawa's got Bronson Reed. Great. And Otis has the Intercontinental Champion who just beat Gunther. But you want us to go and do things that you haven't done. What are we doing? Great heel work. Love it. But as far as the baby faces go, show a little bit more grit. You know, show a little bit of pushback. They're like, doesn't make a lot of sense. But you are right. The pop that Otis is going to get when he decides to T-bone suplex Chad Gable, that'll be fantastic. I mean, he still gets a great reaction from the live audience, just gyrating his legs. So he's somebody who can, him and Chad, I think, could have a really good match also.
I think so. Like, let those guys go out there and have like a 20-minute battle, and they'll just deliver, and the fans will love it. So I love that moment for Otis whenever it happens. But you are right. Bronson Reed, who is great as always, will eat this pin. Unfortunately, I do sense it coming, no doubt about it. So spoiler alert as to what we can expect at the King and Queen of the Ring PLE in a couple of weeks on Peacock. As we get to, you know what, Scott? I need WWE, with all due respect, to be a bit more creative with how they determine number one contenders for their championships. For the third time in less than a month, we're having another fatal four-way to determine who will face the tag team champions at a PLE or a Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. Can we please be a bit more creative? Can a team go on a win streak? Can they qualify for a match fair and square? What is this ragtag menagerie of teams? We have No Catch Republic. We have Judgment Day. We have the Creed Brothers. And we have Authors of Pain. And I'm like, okay, again, really? Why?
Well, the answer to your question is no, and that's what happens when you got your boy Scrap Daddy making the ideas. That's your boy, by the way. Your boy. That's your guy. You know, Triple H, for all his, he can't, you know, he does have a couple faults, and every now and then something falls through the cracks. He's done pretty good. He does a good job with the tag division when it's the focus of the show, when it's got the main event players in it, and when it involves the guys that he loves. And obviously right now, you know, it's not his guys. Like, truth and Miz aren't Triple H guys, you know. Let's keep it a buck. Triple H used to try and embarrass the Miz, and when Awesome Truth was running around, when they broke into that Hell in a Cell and was beating up everybody, it was Triple H that was able to stop them two by himself, you know. Not one of the wrestlers, but Triple H. So he definitely ain't rocking with them. So he ain't trying to worry. He ain't worried about them. So it is what it is. We're just waiting on Ciampa to snap on the champs anyway, because that's going to be the feud wherever the titles could potentially change hands.
Yes, very possible as well. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I just need Triple H to be a bit more creative with these matches. You know, do something to make the teams matter, mean more, instead of throwing a random four away. And now we have Judgment Day going after Miz and R-Truth for the titles, thanks to Carlito providing the assist by delivering a backstabber to Pete Dunne, which allowed Finn to take care of Tyler Bate. But Tyler Bate, like Big Hoss and member of the Authors of Pain, and spinning them around. This dude's strength is ridiculous. I just want to say that. Remarkable. It would get him over. And I gotta say, South Carolina stood up last night. Very impressive crowd for the most part.
Yeah, good crowd, big strong boy, Tyler Bate. He's fantastic. They have the tag division. It's like you said, you just got a singles matches, squash matches. Like you can, if you have a team that you've been, you know, it's real simple to do the number one contenders thing is just have a team that you've been featuring, you know, make sure it's on, they're on a winning streak, and hey, they're next up. They've won the last so-and-so matches. They just beat so-and-so last week, or these two teams have won their last five matches. I'm going to put them against each other this week to determine who's going to be the number one contender. Like it's so simple. And they used to have number one contenders matches on pay-per-views, on Raws. They still do sometimes, but I just think that's something that they've gone away from, and I'm not sure why. And so is the squash match, but that's something that the tag division needs. And, you know, that those are the matches where you let them win with different types of moves. And that way, when they hit those moves in the matches that matter, get a greater near fall.
For sure. And I really hope that for the Creeds as well, very good team. You know, they have the moments of being very green as well. But this Monday Night Raw run so far, definite choices. I heard the rumblings of maybe there'll be a Team Gable with the Creeds, and maybe it's not too late for that, as Chad was teasing something with Ivy Now backstage earlier in the show as well. So I could see them reconstructing this crew as heels down the road, because they need something. They're too good to be used in spot fests like this and then put away for weeks at a time. We don't see them. I think they're too special for them to be just languishing on the show when they were just amazing on NXT, when they were given the push to be great with or without the championships.
Yeah, and that could be what it is. And that could be what the whole thing with Ivy and Chad, their little interaction was. So, you know, it's not like they have anything to worry about. They're so young and they're so raw and talented that they'll be able to get over no matter what. But I said this when they first got called up, there was American Alpha vibes as far as the concerns. And so far, it's kind of how it's panned out. But a heel turn, running with Chad Gable, especially if Chad were to somehow get that IC title soon, them running with him, them messing around and getting those titles, that could be what this team needs to kind of elevate them and take them to that next level.
Absolutely. Hopefully it happens very soon. If it was teased, it must happen. And I think that everybody will benefit from it at the end of the day. As we get to the main event of Monday Night Raw, I think this is a very a polarizing match regarding the outcome. It was main event Jey Uso versus the Mad Dragon, Ilya Dragunov. And you know what, Scott? We kind of criticized the crowd last week for not understanding the assignment. South Carolina understood the assignment. Flashlights were on. They were bopping. They were vibing. And this was great. Now, I will say this for WWE. Now, what happened in Lyon, France was amazing for Jey's entrance. It was original. It was unique. It was wholly theirs. What I do not want is for you to say, well, let's make this the trend. It goes from basketball arenas. Let's do it for our shows. It should be organic. It should not be something that you lean into and just say, oh, guys, just go ahead and do it. Now, let the fans do it. No need to guide and lead them. What I did not like about the old guard in WWE was them trying to condition fans to do something. Let the fans do what they do. They would catch on accordingly. They do not need to be coached. I do appreciate the assignment being understood, but when I hear them saying we must have this in every arena, I don't like that, because you take away the organic feel of these moments. It feels manufactured, and that should never, ever, ever be the case. Let special things happen naturally.
Yeah, Jey's he's got a special connection going on right now, and it was a kind of a real organic thing, the way the crowd started vibing with him, and then just this whole babyface run has been very organic. And every week that passes, I think we can all kind of just say, and I think Triple H also can say, thank you and you were right to Roman and Paul Heyman for making sure that they took that title one more year and gave Jey that rub, because man, he's been elevated ever since he went by himself. He's been a top guy. He's one of the top two or three baby faces on the Raw side. That includes an injured CM Punk. I'll put that reaction he gets with anybody right now, and the way the crowd rocks with him and the way they're waiting on him to get that to finally get that big singles win, whether it's a title, just whatever it is, this King of the Ring, they're fully behind him. They're ready for it. And I agree with you. I do think they can, it can be organic. Like I thought the way I look after the match at the end, after he won, that was very organic. The way everybody was rocking with them, was vibing, the hands were going up, everybody was on their feet already. So I think long as they just let it be, the crowd will get it. And if you see the lights come on, then drop the lights. If the lights don't come on, leave the lights on and let everybody see the hands. Like, I think seeing the hands is just as cool. Seeing the hands flowing up and down, I think that's just as cool as having the little fireflies, unless they're hinting at Jey Uso potentially having a deal with the Wyatt Six, but that's a whole other story.
Yes, indeed. So I agree with you there. And, you know, I have my own mixed feelings about what happened in last year's WrestleMania, but everything is meant to be. We got this incredible story heading into this year's WrestleMania, and Jay's more forward and Cody's the champion. So everybody finished a story in their own way, which I like. But this main event was good. Dragunov, you know, there's no doubt about his greatness. And he was backstage, you know, talking about, I'm one of the very few people that beat Gunther, and I know that I can do it again when it counts most in the semifinals of this tournament. And Gunther rose up on him, says, good luck with that. And then we get this match against Jey Uso. Very physical. Love the chemistry between both guys. First time ever matchup between the two. And I liked it for the most part. The finish was the finish. And I don't know how I feel about that. I know that Jay's the more established guy on the main roster, but I think at the end of the day, this was the right decision, because if you want to see Dragunov versus Gunther, you do it at the Bash in Berlin, where you get the time necessary for both guys to go out there and have a classic. No need to waste TV time with commercials that can eat away into what can be a classic. So I would like to see them in uninterrupted. So I will accept this, even though the feedback online is a little bit so-so regarding Jay winning. But him versus Gunther next week should be very, very interesting. The winner moves on to the finals to face the SmackDown side, whoever turns out on that end by the time SmackDown is over next week.
Yeah, the internet doesn't matter. genuinely, the internet doesn't matter. The loud vocal minority that is the internet audience. You saw the reaction he got after he won. You saw the reaction he got when he came out. You see the reaction he's getting every single week. We watch this show every week. We watch every show. We see the reactions that he's getting. The internet doesn't matter, because the internet tells me that Jay's not good. The internet tells me that he's overrated. And that, you know, the crowd, it's not a real thing that the crowd's with him. That's what they tell me. So I'm watching the show and I'm like, man, they're completely with him. When he hit that spear, they went nuts. They're like, yo, he's about to do it. Let's go. And he hit the splash and they got on their feet and was vibing with that man when he won. So completely the right decision. It's not like he lost. He didn't lose to Akira Tozawa. No offense to Akira Tozawa, who has not been positioned as a top guy. He lost to arguably the top babyface on the brand. I mean, genuinely, what other babyface on Monday Night Raw is as over as Jey Uso? You know what I mean?
That is a fact.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, people are upset about nothing. Like, what? Dragunov loses nothing. Like, the crowd is getting behind him. When his music hit, you could feel the energy change. That's what you want out of him. You know this matchup with Gunther is on the horizon. Let him run through Ludwig. Like, you got a lot you can do with him. You got a lot you can build with him. You don't need to be rushing into no Gunther Dragunov match. Anyway, like you said, that's a match that deserves no commercial breaks. 20, 25 minutes, maybe even 30. But whatever you do, it's a match that deserves to be continuously seen. Nothing breaking it up. So I'm completely on board with what happened. Jey Uso was the correct decision, because him versus Gunther is going to be full of energy, which is what you want, and it's going to be a great match.
Yes, full of energy and drama, wondering how it's going to end, how it's going to, you know, wind up with who's going to be advanced to the finals of this tournament on the Raw side. I think it's going to be a very good match. They ran it back a couple of months ago, so I want to see how it goes here in this setting here with even higher stakes, with the winner facing the SmackDown winner at the PLE in a couple of weeks. Two more things from Monday Night Raw was Lyra Valkyria versus Zoe Stark. And I got to say, Scott, the fans knew Lyra. They were doing a little chant. I did say that I think her interest would be a bit more over versus NXT, bigger crowd, bigger, you know, presentation. And the match was solid. Zoe Stark, you know, for me, you know, my main issue is the lack of a personality. It's going to have her stand out. Very good, bland. Very good with bland. But ultimately, Lyra wins with a night wing, and she will face Io Sky in the semifinals of the tournament on the women's side. That should be a very good match next Monday on Raw.
And if she's not going to win it, I don't want her in the finals. Like, if she's gonna pull the upset, let her go to the finals. Let her go all the way and pull the upset. But if not, I think, you know, Io Sky is the one you got to have representing that Raw brand. Especially if it's going to be Nia or Tiffany on that other, though, you know, you do still have the Damage Control versus Bianca story. So there's a lot of threads you could do there, but if Lyra's going to go to the finals, man, I say she pulls off the upset and she goes all the way and she wins it. But I think Nia Jax would be the way to go, but this was a good match. Zoe's a really good hand. I was half expecting maybe Shayna Baszler to come out and help her tag teammate out, but they've done a good job with Lyra. They've presented her well. The crowd is starting to get behind her, and she seems more comfortable. We talked about this. Terror, Tiffany, they needed to come out and work with more, not only more seasoned people, but just a different set of women, get different styles. And we've seen the fruits of those labors, because I think Lyra's looked really good the last couple weeks.
Agreed. And I was very pleasantly surprised. Like, oh, wow, South Carolina knows who she is. They doing the chant. They was rocking with her during the match. So I felt like the main roster would be a blessing for her. The presentation, she will get over. She will find herself. And I think it's starting to bear fruit. I'm very happy for her on that. Nice showings the last couple of weeks. And Liv Morgan gets her lick back. We're going after Becky Lynch and walking away, heading into their Women's World Championship match at King and Queen of the Ring, going down a couple of weeks in Saudi Arabia. And one more note to make, which was a very special moment. It was Samantha Irvin and Lillian Garcia doing dual announcing duties for Gunther versus Kofi Kingston. It was a passing of the torch from Lillian, one of the greatest ring announcers of all time, to the great one right now, Samantha. Love that moment. It was a genuine moment because, you know, Samantha has been just killing it. She's my favorite ring announcer in the game. And Lillian Garcia, you know what? It was a rough go in the beginning, but when she got it together, she was one of the great voices in WWE. So for both ladies to have that moment last night, it was very special. And the crowd reaction was even better.
Yeah, shout out to Lillian Garcia, the original love of Big Daddy V. And shout out to her and those nachos with cheese.
Oh my God. The fact I remember that is appalling.
Yeah. Shout out to nachos and cheese, man. And Big Daddy V. He wasn't Big Daddy V. That was Viscera. Sorry. My bad. Viscera. Yeah, this is cool. Cool moment. Samantha, the GOAT right now, as far as best in the game, and Lillian's solid. So this was a great moment for the women, and just a really cool generational moment. You don't get to see a lot of that type of stuff with announcers, and it's always the wrestlers, or maybe even get it with announcers, to get it with the announcers, this was different and cool.
Yes, and Lillian does not age, by the way. My goodness, she looks beautiful.
Looks the same.
Yes. An ageless wonder. I appreciate that as always. And that wraps up what I thought was a solid episode of Monday Night Raw with a better crowd this week. Shout out to South Carolina. You showed up. You represented. Shout out to you for delivering a very entertaining episode of Monday Night Raw. But now, Scott, it is time to think about what you saw this week and even tonight. and select the best match you saw from WWE This Week Across, SmackDown, Monday Night Raw, NXT, Level Up, or even perhaps Main Event or WWE Speed.
Man, I think part of me wants to say the Randy AJ match. I thought that was really good. Really enjoyed that. But I'm not going to lie to you, man. I thoroughly enjoyed the Shayna Baszler Io Sky match. Really enjoyed that. Pleasantly surprised. And it's always good to see Shayna presented as the force she could be. But I thought there was another good in-ring week for WWE.
Yes, the tournament is producing some really good matches. I'm going to be leaning towards AJ versus Randy Orton. Those guys, they're just pros out there. And I really enjoyed their match on Friday. They went out there and they delivered. And I really enjoyed what they did out there. And AJ thought he was going to win. Randy says, nope. And we'll see if Randy faces Gunther. Because if that happens, and we talked about this, we know that Randy's very chop sensitive. I do wonder if it's going to go in that direction and if he'll take those hits.
Who's Randy facing next week?
Let me see.
I know it's LA Knight and Tama.
Yes, I think it's Randy and who made it through? I'm trying to think. Big brain. Who made it through the tournament?
Let me look up the SmackDown side.
LA Knight, Tama Tonga. Who is the fourth guy? It's LA Knight, Tama Tonga. Who else? Is everybody's accounted for? We're missing somebody.
Yeah, we're missing somebody. Hold on. Let me look it up real quick. Let's see here. SmackDown side. Oh, Carmelo Hayes.
Oh, yes, Melo. We forgot Melo and Baron Corbin. We're so sorry, guys. Our apologies. That was a good match, too. Corbin reminded people, I'm a good wrestler, damn it, and he did. So,
yeah, good match. And, they positioned on both sides, women and men, SmackDown and Raw, they positioned rookies. Not rookies. But newcomers on the brands to be in a position to beat some veteran names and get big victories. So if LA Knight is to win, Carmelo Hayes is going to somehow win. But I'm assuming LA Knight gets beaten and we get Randy versus Tama to kind of continue their feud. And yeah, I think Randy's definitely taking a chop from Gunther.
I'll pray for his chest in advance. And shout out to Melo. One of the best sellers in the game. He learned from the best in the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, with his selling, just saying.
Yeah, I think that match will be great next week.
Yes, for sure. And with that, this wraps up the wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Thank you so much for joining us as we cap the week that was in WWE. I want to thank my captain, Scott Young, the advocate for the rapidly improving Miss Jada Parker, someone who is always there for me in the clutch as we recap everything that went down across all of WWE television this past week.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. The King of the Ring has put me almost in a perky mood. So next week, I'll probably be perky, Scott, especially if the matches continues to be as good as they were. But then I remember tomorrow's NXT, so I'll probably be salty next week.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll see. We'll see how Scott's mood, vacillates between now and next week. I think that we'll be in the home stretch for King and Queen of the Ring. And then next week, you get like a double dose. You get us on Monday, and then you get us most likely Sunday morning, recapping everything that went down at the PLE the following Saturday. So be in tune for that. Hopefully, it's a good show with Scott being perky, but he can be salty depending how NXT goes tomorrow night on USA. I am very thankful that I have some time to just kick back, relax, and talk all things WWE with you guys. It's therapeutic. You do not even know how much so. So this was a great release for me for a bit to forget about things going on in my personal life. But until next week, for myself and for soon to be potentially perky Scott Young, that was the week that was in WWE. Until next Tuesday, enjoy the week ahead. NXT notwithstanding, take care and bye-bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.